Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my best friends in the world, Justin and Randy. How you doing, Randy?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Thanks for asking.
How you doing, Justin?
Fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. We missed a week last week. Missed a show last week.
It's your fault.
Blame for that,
yes,
one. That one was me.
I'm definitely.
Like, can we do it this day? Then this date? And then nope, not going to happen. And so yeah, we missed a lot of action last week. But let's start with the new stuff. Did you guys see that Game of Thrones Benioff and Weiss is going to make some Star Wars movies? Does that excite you, Randy?
It does. It totally does. You know, and I've been clamoring for this ever since I heard we were going to be first getting new Star Wars content. But how cool would it be to see something in like the Old Republic era that's going to be handled in total Game of Thrones style? Obviously, there's going to be less cursing and less fucking. But you know what? I won't hold that against the show. I think it could still be pretty goddamn cool. You know, because the reason we watch Game of Thrones isn't for those reasons. although I do like hearing the mountain say the word cunt a lot. Oh, not Mountain the Hound. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up my giant dudes. You know, I'm just drowning in a pool of man sweat over here. But yeah, as much as I like to see it, it's not for those reasons. It's because of the characters and because the writing is actually fairly intelligent and nice and fun and in depth and layered. And I think that we could use some of that in the Star Wars universe. How about you guys?
So Randy brought up a point about some swearing and some banging. And it's brought up an interesting point amongst a lot of Star Wars fans of, A, do you think you'll ever see an R-rated Star Wars movie? And B, do you want one, Justin?
I guess never say never, but I am comfortable with a PG-13 Star Wars. I don't think it needs to go to R. I wouldn't be against it, but I don't think I ever need to see one.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one, that it just seems weird that we would have a Star Wars movie to where, like, you couldn't take your kids and your nephews and your nieces and your whole family to. To me, Star Wars is kind of like the epitome of, like, bring everyone together to see it and to ostracize a group, especially children, from seeing a Star Wars movie. Just, I don't know, doesn't feel right to me. I could see them maybe in, like, one of the TV shows being a little more edgy.
yeah, like Squigglevision.
Yeah, Squigglevision.
But I mean, it does explore some pretty heavy themes, you know, like even with death, the whole planet's being destroyed, billions of lives being lost. But it loses something when you see an entire planet get destroyed, or even just something as simple as a bunch of countless droids being mowed down, or even stormtroopers, you know, these faceless villains that are just running around, just getting destroyed. It doesn't bother us in any way, shape, or form. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. We don't really feel the effects of the violence unless it's, you know, a Jedi getting killed or some rebel scum getting exploded.
Yeah, no blood. No blood. Can't care if there's no blood. What do you think, Randy, about the possibility of an R-rated Star Wars film?
To be honest, I think it's one of those properties that Disney is going to maintain some amount of reverence for. Now, I also didn't think we would necessarily ever really see an R-rated Marvel movie either, but the subject matter there lends itself to being a little bit more adult in nature. It was, you know, Star Wars at its core has always kind of been a fairy tale. It's always been a hero's journey where we don't, there's a lot of functions in life that happen that we just don't see in those movies, but we don't necessarily need to. And I would be okay never seeing sex or hearing cursing. And would I want to? Don't get me wrong, I'd still watch it, of course, and I might even love it, but I don't really want it.
Yeah, it just seems weird. Now, Justin, Randy brought up, you know, an Old Republic, you know, obviously Weiss and Benioff are entrenched in Game of Thrones, you know, that throwback to an older time. could you see them handling an Old Republic? And is that the direction you kind of want to see them head? You know, because we all love the game, but, you know, something based in that time frame, maybe not necessarily a retelling of Revan's Tale, but in that sandbox?
Sure. I think that's a fantastic idea. I want all new characters, a whole new timeline, and I would love it if whatever happens in this timeline has no real effect on what we know and love. I mean, if it's thousands of years ago, who really gives a shit? It might, in the grand scheme of things, with the butterfly flaps its wings, might have an effect, but nothing that we notice on screen.
Right, yeah. If you said something thousands of years in the past, it's hard for them to directly connect to really anything. I mean, other than, you know, we could see possibly, like, the formation of, like, the Jedi Temple, or, like, you know, see, like, Yavin 4, like, have them Asassi temples be formed or something like that, but... Something like that I'm fine with, but, you know, it'd be kind of nice to get something just completely disconnected from everything we know and love.
Sure. I mean, would you want, like, an actual, like, Jedi origin story? Like, the creation of Jedis to begin with? Or does that not interest any of you guys?
Before Rogue One, I would have said I wouldn't be interested, but the Planet of Jedi with, like, the whole fallen, like, Jedi statue thing, like... It kind of interests me. I'm like, oh, I wonder, I'd like to see Jedi and it's like Prime or, you know, something like that. That could be fun.
Sure.
That'd be Randy.
No, I think that would be great. You know, above and beyond even just Jedi or Sith or anything like that, but just kind of like the harnessing of the Force. You know, it's like, how does one discover that they have the ability to kind of bend the Force to their own will, that kind of thing. Before... good or evil is done with it, just the first people kind of realizing that they have that power, and it's new, you know. I would love to see that. And you literally get to see a religion formed around this ability. I think that could lend itself to a long-term series.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great stories to mine from the, you know, old Expanded Universe, the Legends canon, and I'm not saying they have to, like, completely rehash stuff, but there's little things they could pick from it, and there's a lot of really great Old Republic era stories about, you know, Jedi having to overcome, you know, lineages of, you know, evil, or, you know, people who developed a Force later in life and, you know, save the galaxy and stuff like that. So I think the Old Republic is a great reset point. I think that if they're smart, they'll get away from this whole 25-30 year, I guess now it's like a 45-year period that we've been stuck in for all of these years, and give people something completely different.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm ready for it. Just like I'm ready for Solo. Got a trailer. Got two. We got a teaser and a teaser. Wonder the Super Bowl won the next day on Good Morning America. So Justin, what are your thoughts on the two trailers? And you said you preferred one over the other.
I did. I actually like the first teaser that we got during the Super Bowl. I thought it was quick and engaging and caught me by surprise. Like, I was kind of on the fence with this one, but the teaser got me all sorts of excited. I think my favorite shot was sort of the Star Destroyer with the lightning crashing all around it. I thought that was pretty neat.
So and, cool.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about all these new movies is that they've all brought something to the table that we've never really seen before. Mm-hmm. And that was a really cool shot for me. I think with, I was trying to think like down the line of all these movies that have come out, and sorry to break away on a tangent, but I just want to get this out there really fast. On Force Awakens, I thought it was really cool when we got to see sort of inside the dropships and, you know, what the troops are kind of going through when they're about to land. I thought that was kind of neat. And then inside a TIE fighter versus just the camera shot on the pilot, we got to kind of see inside of a TIE mm-hmm. fighter, which was pretty neat. And then on Rogue One, I really liked... the rainy planet when she was going to talk to her dad and, like, the sniping's about to happen and just all kinds of shit was going down. The music was really cool. We hadn't really seen anything like that before. And then I'm trying to think of The Last Jedi.
I can give you one, BB-8 in the droid socket. Getting to see what a droid does in there.
Yeah, that was cool, too. I dug that. And then even the bombers, when the whole strand of bombs coming down, I thought that was pretty neat, too. That
just kind of... splitting...
Yeah.
Splitting space and time, pretty much.
When yeah, and hyperspace. Fashion.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I love that. And I just want to keep seeing the new stuff coming. It's it just excites me. And because that was one of the first shots of the trailer, I was just kind of like, all right, I'm on board. I like this new stuff. So, yeah, that ended up being a lot longer of an answer than I wanted to be, David. Sorry.
There's no problem. Yeah, I mean, I love that shot as well. Obviously, we know Kessel is one of the planets we're going to go to, and I'm, you know, assuming that's the Kessel that we saw, because Kessel is a planet, it's a prison planet, and then it's surrounded by what's called the Maw, which is just this huge series of black holes, and that's how you run the Kessel run in less parsecs, because parsecs is distance, not time, is by skirting close to the black hole. You're able to kind of bend space a little bit and, you know, shave some distance off of you to where, you know, some ships would get sucked in and stuff like that. And so I would love it if that's the Kessel run. And I like the Scribble trailer a lot, too, just because I liked, you know, him interacting with that Imperial officer type thing. But it was the stinger at the end of the full trailer or the full teaser where he's just sitting there like, oh, we're fine, nothing to worry about, we're okay, and then just, you know, all shit goes to hell, and it just reminded me of episode 4, you know, we're fine, how are you? but what'd you think, Randy?
Well, believe it or not, I think I'm going to agree with Justin on this one. I preferred the teaser as well, going with the less is more adage. I really, that shot of the Star Destroyer coming through, I think I preferred that angle of it rather than the longer version of the shot that we got in the full teaser. And the implications that we do get to see Han Solo joining up with the Imperial Academy, as a story we've heard so many times in the old legends, I like the idea that it seems they're bringing it back into the new canon. Now, I will say that with the longer teaser trailer, we got to hear a little bit of Han Solo's voice, we got to hear a little bit of a narration, we definitely got to see more, and oh my God, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful film. It looks so good. The effects look amazing. The environments, the ships, everything is just so fucking cool. I am all over the look and the feel of this movie. The only thing that I'm not sold on, and a lot of people that I've talked to have echoed this sentiment, the only thing we're not sold on is the man playing Han Solo himself. And I don't want to sound like I'm beating a dead horse with that, because we've talked about it before. But and I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Of course I'm going to see the movie. Of course I'm going to give it a chance. But, I mean, damn, it looks so good. I have my hopes up so high. And you know me. I don't like to go in with high hopes. I like going in thinking it's going to be a big old turd. That way I'm not disappointed if and when it is. But I'm holding my breath for this movie.
Right.
It looks so good.
I like that Ehrenreich wasn't trying to be Harrison Ford. Like,
yeah,
he kind of tried to get some of his mannerisms, but it wasn't like he was miming him. You know, his hair's a little bit different and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that he makes it his own and that we're able to just quickly into the film realize this isn't Harrison Ford, this is someone different, and we can enjoy the film. Because if he starts to try to just be a clone or a character actor that's imitating Harrison Ford, I think that it just brings the comparison back, and I think it'll take us out of it. A lot of people are comparing it to, you know, we got 2 Obi-Wans and there wasn't a problem, but I think the problem is that in the Obi-Wan case, we had an old Obi-Wan and a young Obi-Wan, to where even though this is a young Han Solo, we've already had a young Han Solo, so yeah. I think the comparisons are a little more scrutinous in this one. So.
Right, the character, the actors portraying the roles, there's a difference of, like, what, 6 or 7 years, maybe, at the most?
Yeah, I would say so.
So, that's a big difference.
Yeah, but I think universally, I think everyone is pretty excited about Donald Glover as Lando, though.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's got the cape, the attitude,
the smile. Yeah, it looks good.
It's got the Falcon. He's got playing some Sobek.
I was watching Batman, 1989 Batman, over the weekend, and it always cracks me up that Billy Dee Williams is Harvey Dent, who goes on to be Two-Face, and that would have been such a neat evolution of the character if he continued that role, but we didn't get to see it, obviously.
The acid turned him white.
Yeah.
Bleached him.
He's just a cool dude. He brings that presence, you know, and I just dig it. And that's a shame that it didn't go all the way through. But it's neither here nor there.
I blame Schumacher.
There you go.
Rubble, rubble, rubble.
For most things. You know, also a cool dude, Joaquin Phoenix.
Mm. He's an interesting guy.
He's a little touchy rapey, I thought.
No, you're thinking Casey Affleck.
Oh.
But that's an easy distinction, though, because they kind of have this weird shared quality between the two of them.
That's right. They made a movie together. What was that horrible movie where he's like a rapper or something?
Yeah, and it was on that movie where the allegations came through.
Ah. Oh, there we go.
Plot thickens.
Joaquin.
Was that I'm Still Here? Was that the name of that movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That was a derail. Why did you bring up Joaquin Phoenix? Why are you playing with my emotions like this?
Well, Joaquin Phoenix is in talks to play the Joker in the Joker standalone movie. Not to be mistaken with Jared Leto playing the Joker in Suicide Squad 2 and the possible Harley Quinn Joker movie, but in this bizarro world where Todd Phillips with The Hangover is directing a Joker standalone film, right now they're in final talks for Joaquin Phoenix to play the Joker. It's interesting on many levels. One of them is that Joaquin Phoenix was supposed to be Doctor Strange. He was the original one cast, and he decided he didn't want to do it because it was too big an obligation, because, you know, once you're in one Marvel movie, you're in them all. So, Justin, Joaquin Phoenix, does it excite you as the Joker?
I think he could do it. He is a tremendous actor. But I think it's weird, you know, this whole standalone, separate universe thing is just kind of bizarre to me. I'm not a fan of that approach, but I definitely think he could do it.
Yeah. What the hell happened to the Joker movie we were going to get with Leonardo DiCaprio?
This is
and
it.
Fucking...
The one with Scorsese? But yeah, this
Scorsese,
is
Scorsese, yeah. Where did he get lost? What part of the road did the truck bump him out of the back, and now we're left with this mess? What happened?
Well, the press release does not mention him, so I don't know if that means he's out or if he just hasn't finalized his deal yet. But yeah, originally he was gonna produce it. Tom Phillips was gonna direct it, and they were talking about Leo just because Scorsese and Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio have a relationship. But I guess they finally realized that that was probably not gonna work.
Yeah, wishful thinking.
Wow,
but. I mean, honestly, one of the craziest and scariest villains, I think, in cinematic history is Joaquin Phoenix as Commodus in Gladiator. He is just terrifying. So, he's unpredictable. And I think that if you just put a little makeup on Commodus, he could easily be a Joker.
Yeah, I could see that. I was not thinking Gladiator. When I was thinking Joaquin Phoenix, I was thinking more Parenthood.
Yeah, there you go.
Those are different characters.
Yeah.
Way different.
I mean, so Randy, where's your entertainment level at for this film? is this a movie you care about? And does Joaquin Phoenix's involvement make it less or more enticing?
Well, speaking as a guy who loves Batman who has yet to see Justice League... I will say, and it took me over a year to see BVS, putting things in that frame of mind. I will say that I want to see a Joker movie. He's an interesting choice. I like the idea of an interesting choice. I will see it. Will I see it right off the bat? Probably not. I'm going to wait and see what public reaction is. But if everybody else, I mean, seriously, though, look at the chain of DC movies with the exception of Wonder Woman that's come out lately. Everybody just, they go into it taking off their belt expecting just to, like, drop trowel and start steaming a deuce on top of it. They go into it with that mindset. So I kind of want to wait and see what other people's reactions are before I get involved. That being said, sure, I'll give it a whirl.
I actually like Justice League, but I like you said, went into it with very low expectations. But in the end, when it was over, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you enjoy it when it's over. Just like when any painful, traumatic experience is over. Oh, I feel so much better now.
Yeah, it's like, oh, thank God.
Well, what about you, Justin? What's your interest level on this film?
I'm lukewarm, I guess. I'm sure, like anything, it's hard to read about it and be excited for me. I need to see a trailer. I need to see somebody's vision come to life because I, at this point, am lacking the imagination of what I think it needs to be. Joker's just one of those mysterious characters that I kind of like the idea of not knowing much about him. So I'm kind of weird that way, but in the end, I'm sure it'll be interesting. It can't be worse than Suicide Squad. That is like the nadir of all films for me. It's
true. Yeah, I mean, I put the Joker up with people like Boba Fett and stuff like that, where, you know, I don't need to know everything about him. I like the mystery. That's all.
Yeah, no, I would totally get behind that statement, too. I do like the mystery, and maybe, you know, maybe we can have a Joker movie where we don't need to go into his background. Maybe we can just somehow, for some story arc, have him as our sympathetic. I can't call him a hero, but let's just call him a protagonist. You know,
sure, sure.
Let's just say he has a nice character arc, and we actually feel for the guy. We don't need to learn about what happened to make him that way. All we need to know about is that story that they're telling us, and if they can tell us a really interesting story, because they're not going to go for no, seriously.
It's fine. I just immediately thought of like Gone in 60 Seconds. Or Joker's got to save his brother from getting crushed by a bunch of cars.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. Look at who their choices are to play him. Now, granted, Leonardo DiCaprio, he had that youthful feeling. He never really feels like he aged out of his 20s, you know. You look at him now. But you look at Joaquin Phoenix, and that dude, you know, he aged. He's older. He is an older Joker. We're not seeing Joker as he's coming up. We're seeing when he's established. So that's why I don't think we're going to get anything really tasting of a origin film with this. So,
right.
You know, framing it that way, I could actually get a little bit more on board.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe Harley's been... Maybe she was captured and she's being tortured and he don't like it and he's gotta bust her out.
Absolutely. It's a bunch of vigilantes gone bad. They captured Harley Quinn. They're trying to lure the Joker out and he's not going to have any of it.
Yeah.
He gets busted.
He gets those guys dressed up as Batman in hockey pads. And
exactly.
Takes them down.
I'm not wearing hockey pads. Harvey Dent, can we trust him? Talked about both of them today.
Love it.
So shifting to kind of a, I don't know how to take it story, probably a douchebag of the week or something. Josh L. Dickey, who used to be an entertainment reporter for Mashable, who has entered what he calls don't give a fuck mode because he's leaving the industry of entertainment journalism. Said that he had heard way back in January or February of last year that Zack Snyder was actually fired from the set of Justice League, as opposed to the story that we heard in, I believe, June, that he was stepping down for personal reasons stemming from the tragic death of his daughter. It seems like a weird thing to come out of left field that really doesn't really serve anything other than to say, like, look what I knew, even though other people seem to be maybe coming out and saying something similar, and that he was fired because his cut of Justice League was quote-unquote unwatchable. Mm. And several sources, I guess, have come out and said something similar to that, that his cut was unwatchable. So, okay, to you, Justin, what is this weird timing? Is this just some guy just trying to, like, get, like, one last grasp of fame before he, you know, slips into irrelevancy? Or is this something that we needed to know in light of the tragedy?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a low blow. Even if it is true, the industry isn't better for it. I don't see why he felt the need to do that. And it just seems a little absurd to me. I mean, it's not like it's like a big cover-up. It's just letting someone go out with dignity and out on their own terms, which I can completely respect. I think it is absurd to paint this man in a negative light when there's no need to. This man being Snyder and not Mr. Dickey.
Dickey. Josh L. Dickey. What do you think, Randy? I mean, you're not you love Zack Snyder to no end. You've named two World of Warcraft characters after him, and you talk incessantly about him on the holidays.
I think that's you. You're thinking of.
What do you think of the? What's the point of this? Or is there a point?
I really don't know what the point is, other than, I mean, it sounds almost kind of like kicking a man when he's down. To say that he was fired before taking the time off because of the tragedy that befell his family. I mean, shit. Let the man be. Think of him what you will. I know you're not the one that holds him in the highest esteem in the world, but even you wouldn't want to go throwing around shit like that. I don't know. It reeks of it's just poor show.
Yeah, bad form, bad form.
Bad form.
Say bad form, old man. Well, what do you think about reports coming out that the Snyder Cut that everyone's been clamoring for is unwatchable? I know Justin earlier, a couple podcasts ago, had mentioned that when we first heard those little tidbits of what was originally in the Justice League Snyder Cut, that we lost in favor of the mess that we got. And he made the point of, well, like, they test screened it and people hated it. So, you know, obviously, no one liked this movie. Is that does that seem to be what's going on here?
That's what it appeared to be. I mean, we've all sat on test screenings, and, you know, you get to give your feedback. They give you this nice little form and a number two pencil to write down stuff with. And it's good to have the feedback of the audience. And if it's an overwhelming, you know, view, then it's probably correct. So maybe on this might be one of those things where on paper it seemed like a really good idea, but it just wasn't filmed well. And maybe he wasn't at his best when he was making this, and it turned out to be garbage. I really don't know. I, for myself, just for my own selfish reasons, I would love to see this original version, but I can live the rest of my life without doing so. But it always made me a little sad that people thought that it was unwatchable. And a part of it might even be just there is a negative stigma that comes with Zack Snyder and him messing with their DC characters. So it might even have been that. So who knows?
All right. So Randy, with Zack Snyder, where does he go from here? I mean, obviously he still wants to make films. He has a couple ideas. Do you think that he just needs to go and, you know, obviously Justice League, you know, he got taken off of that project, you know, either voluntarily or non-voluntarily. Batman v Superman was pretty universally not liked, and Man of Steel is kind of a polarizing film. Do you think that Snyder should maybe try to focus on something smaller, kind of like how Michael Bay does, to where Michael Bay will do a huge movie like Transformers, then he'll go and do like Pain and Gain, he'll do a huge movie like Transformers, and then he'll do someone like 13 Hours. Do you think that maybe Zack Snyder should try to do something like that? You know, because obviously he does have talent, and I know I shit on Zack Snyder a lot, but, you know, I don't wish him any ill. I don't wish that he would stop making movies. He's an artist. I want him to keep making movies, just hopefully ones that I like better. Do you think that maybe he should go something like small and personal, or is Zack Snyder Zack Snyder because he just fucking goes for it, man, and sometimes it's a hit, sometimes it's not, and he should just get back on that horse and make Sucker Punch 2?
Well, I think when it comes to the idea of making a smaller film, it shouldn't be necessarily something he feels like he has to do. It should be something like a more intimate personal story he feels like he wants to do. And to be honest, I think it would probably be best if he just walked away from Warner Brothers, or maybe just DC, the DC aspect of Warner Brothers entirely, and work on something in just distinctly his own, something a far cry different from what he's been doing. Whether it's a big project or a small one, doesn't really matter, but something to get the taste of Justice League out of his mouth. Or not even just Justice League, but, you know, all the DC shenanigans that's been going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's given DC like 10 years of his life, so, you know, maybe
honestly,
it's time to... Sorry.
I was just going to say, from the point of view of a filmmaker, especially if you have your own stories you want to tell, or if you have your own distinct vision or spin you want to put on something, that is a long time to devote to one franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he made 3 films. He got to play in the DC sandbox, and now go somewhere else and play. Mm-hmm. Go make a Star Wars movie.
There you go.
I mean, it's clearly what he wants to do. He clearly has a love for Star Wars. I would see his next Star Wars movie.
They're handing out Star Wars movies like candy on Halloween, so you never know.
Yeah, I mean, his movies are filled, like, you know, Batman v Superman, you know, Lex Luthor's jumpsuit's TK421, you know, so Snyder clearly loves Star Wars, so just give it to him.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there that thing when The Force Awakens was being made where they were just kind of like, did a Batmobile on the Millennium Falcon, and then when they were doing BVS, they had something Star Wars related there, and they were like sending pictures back and forth, J.J. Abrams and Zack Snyder. Am I making that up? Was that a fever dream, or is that something
you remember?
That happened.
Yeah. So we know he's got some Star Wars love in his heart. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Come play in this sandbox, Mr. Snyder.
Yeah.
You have Geek Legacy's invitation, if that means anything.
I'll call Kathleen Kennedy and let her know to expect your phone call.
Yeah, get her on the horn, as they say in MASH, I guess.
Speaking of the Mouse House, did you guys see the early details of their streaming service, of what they're planning to do in 2019?
I just know that there are no rated R movies.
Yeah, I saw like the little rated RR with a red circle and a line through it.
Yeah, no rated R movies. They're going to be taking all of their programming, with the exception of the Netflix shows like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, etc. Those will stay on Netflix and stay kind of the more graphic content. All other content they're going to take over to their streaming app. They're going to cancel their deal with Netflix. They're not going to send new Star Wars movies, and I think they have like their contract has like one Marvel movie left, I believe. But as soon as those contracts are up, they'll start to fall off the streaming service and land exclusively on the Disney platform. They also said that R-rated movies and stuff that are currently under the Disney umbrella would be going to Hulu, because now that they own that stake in Hulu, so your Open Ranges, your Touchstone Pictures that were R-rated, those will be housed on Hulu. So I guess that's good news for Hulu.
Only on Hulu. I hated that commercial.
So, but no word on price, no word on, you know, an exact rollout date, but, you know, I think most people are expecting it to be somewhere in the, you know, the $9 to $12 range, which seems to be the sweet spot for streaming services. So, Justin, that fit in your pocketbook?
Ooh, honestly, David and Randy, I just want... I just want my Disney cartoons, the ones that I grew up with. If I could have that, then I'd pay all the money in the world. I want all my old, what was it, like Quack Attack and all that after school stuff. If I could just watch that shit all day, then I'd be totally happy with it. I want like my Donald cartoons, my fucking Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, all that nonsense, plus
DuckTales.
DuckTales, and then whatever was on, like the cartoons that were on when my parents were kids, because it's the same stuff. That's what I want,
and I bet you get it. I bet they launch like a almost like a WWE Network style, to where they just dump all of their programming on there, and then start producing original programming for it. And I think that would be great,
dude. I would even watch like that old shit, like Dumbo Circus and Winnie the Pooh, where it was like adults in costumes. Like, I would totally watch that. I don't care. I love that stuff. It was good for me. I turned out okay.
Yeah, I remember watching the Disney Channel when I was growing up, and they did this thing. It was a take on Masterpiece Theater. It was called Mousterpiece Theater.
Nice.
And it had like the same little classical intro music, and it was a dude sitting in a chair pulling out a book. And sometimes it would be like a Winnie the Pooh cartoon, or sometimes it would be a different cartoon. But, you know, that kind of shit, it gives kids culture.
It does.
As well as Disney brainwashing.
It does. Yeah, I remember Best Piece Theater. You would have, like, you know, some movie on Sunday or something. And, like, what was that asshole's name?
Michael Eisner.
Eisner, yeah, Michael Eisner.
Yeah, that was back in the 80s.
Yeah, walking through, like, a set piece.
Uh-huh.
The Wonderful World of Disney.
Yeah, what it was. Wonderful World of Disney. Yeah, good shit, man. I'll never forget that. And he was a villain, for crying out loud.
Michael Eisner?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was not well-loved, but...
he made a lot of money on his last day at Disney.
Yeah. The Disney stockholders, they would have run him out of town on a stick if they could have.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. I mean, he only spent, like, 20 years as an agent, so, you know. Tells you where his blood's at.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but I guess I didn't get you. Hey, is this something you're going to pay for, Randy, or do you have enough streaming services?
You know, I do feel like I have enough streaming services, but I do love me some Disney. And if we're going to be getting some new non-R-rated, like, Marvel content, or rumor has it there might be Star Wars streaming on that service, then, yeah, I'm kind of obligated to do it. And I will do it with a smile on my face. Because, you know, maybe it's a little bit of that brainwashing from Disney still, like, lingering in the back of my mind, but I do still have some love for the company.
I feel like you have to do it with a smile on your face. You sound like my wife on my birthday.
Well... I'm not going to touch that. This is a family show.
You really sound like my wife on my birthday.
Zing.
Well, I guess we could finish up the news part with there was two trailers that dropped that we would have normally talked about last week, but we didn't get a chance to, and that was Venom and Deadpool 2. A couple of R-rated trailers, one from Sony, one from Fox. One pretty great, one pretty stupid.
yeah. So... Yeah, let's talk about the stupid one first.
So, I just want to applaud Sony on their bold choice in their Venom trailer to show neither Spider-Man or Venom.
Yeah,
but they did show Tom Hardy's whole face, though, so I guess they get credit for that. So, Justin, what did you think of this trailer?
I didn't like it. I don't really care for Venom altogether. I think we talked... I believe we may have mentioned that on our last show, but... the character doesn't talk a whole lot, so if that being the case, we probably won't even get a whole lot of Venom in the movie to begin with, unless it's just going to be him running around. Like, because even with like a Godzilla movie, right, it's all about the people that are trying to either stop Godzilla or steer Godzilla in the right direction. Unless they plan on doing something like that with this movie, then there's not going to be a lot of Venom in this motion picture show. And Tom Hardy is... He's an interesting dude, but I don't know if I want to watch him for 2 hours. In a right. Venom role, you know. I think he's a good support character. Some of my favorite movies have him in it, but he is not the reason why I like it. Like Mad Max, right? He says like three things in that whole goddamn movie. And it's an incredible movie, but he's not the star.
Yeah, it's Furiosa's movie.
Yeah. Warrior, same thing. Absolutely love that movie, but it's not his movie. It's fucking Lars
Joel Edgerton.
From fucking yeah.
Episode 3.
Yeah. Joel Edgerton and Nick Nolte's movie. They're incredible in that movie. Tom Hardy just happens to be in it.
What about you, Randy? What did you think about Venom?
I couldn't get over the fact that we didn't see Venom, we didn't see Spider-Man, we didn't see anything that you want to see in that trailer. So, to me, it's almost kind of like, why bother? If you're not going to show us anything, then don't even bother putting it out at all. Other than just to say, hey, we got Tom Hardy in this thing. So I don't know. It left kind of a bad taste in my mouth. But
yeah, I mean, we all knew we weren't going to get Spider-Man before you guys sent your angry letters. But you know, we hope that we would eventually see Venom in this Venom trailer.
Yeah, it would have been cool to see, like, a web or something. I don't know. It just fucking makes me mad, that's all. It would have been really cool.
Show us a bone.
Yeah, like, if some dude just went flying through a wall, and it was sort of the silhouette of his body as it flew out the wall, and then you see Venom kind of stick his hand through it, and, like, his face or something. I don't know. Some sort of awesome reveal where you see his mouth and his crazy long tongue and all of his teeth. That would have been fucking badass. Or like maybe here we go. Here's a great idea. Someone's running, right? They just robbed a bank or something. They're scared out of their mind. They're sweating. They think they found a place to hide. But then sort of like the xenomorph where it's sneaking up on Ellen Ripley and it's kind of sniffing around and breathing to try and find her. It's Venom instead. And this fucking guy doesn't know what to do and he's freaking out. And just when you think he's safe, then Venom grabs him. Boom. Fucking Venom trailer. Done.
Credits.
Wouldn't that have been a lot cooler than what we got?
I like the way you think.
Jesus, tap dancing Christ.
How hard is this?
It's not hard at all.
Job is not hard, Sony. Let's go to the happier note. We had the Deadpool trailer, and I think we all enjoyed that quite a bit more. So, Randy, did you enjoy the Deadpool trailer?
I did. I especially enjoyed the Toy Story nostalgic references in it. Breaking the fourth wall, simultaneously seeing like unfinished and finished visual effects. I mean, it just it put together so many things that I just love about Deadpool, and I am in love with their marketing campaign. You know, on top of, I don't know if you saw one of the trailer or one of the posters that just dropped recently, and it's a picture of Deadpool sitting there painting a portrait of Cable, but it's fucking Josh Brolin from The Goonies.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, I love that so much. Like, god damn it, I want to suck the dick of every single person who is working on the marketing of that movie. It is goddamn amazing. I love it, and super stoked to see it.
Nice. What about you, Justin? You just as hyped?
Yeah, fantastic. I like the ragtag group of heroes. We got some returning ones, which is kind of cool. And I don't know. I just feel good about it. All good things.
Okay. Got to see some X-Force. So, yeah. I'm excited, too. I think it will be a fantastic film. And obviously, Fox has a lot of faith in it if they're going to put it right against Solo, who we started talking about at the beginning of the show. But yeah, that's all I got. Randy, you had teased earlier that you might have something for us.
I do indeed. And you know what I was inspired by today? All of this talk of the Joker. So what I have put together is what I consider to be a rather fair game, unlike the one I put you guys through last time. So we're going to go with a little bit more of a fair answering and scoring system. Well, yeah, because you won. You're gonna say it's fair.
He's fast.
You know what it is? It has to do with internet connection.
Yeah.
And I know Dave just got upgraded garage internet, so I know his is a lot better than it used to be. But not only that, but it's also very subjective, and it's my internet connection, which sucks all the dicks. So it's like when I hear it, you know, so it may not always work out well, but that's why we're going to go round robin style this time. And some of them are going to be fill in the blanks, some of them are going to be multiple choice, and you know what? I haven't even read all these questions, so I'm going into this raw. So I apologize in advance if there's anything that should be edited out, but won't be. We're gonna dive in. There's 30-some-odd questions, but we're just going to do, let's say, 12 first and see how things are going, see how everybody's doing. If we're getting a little tired, we'll say fuck off and call it a night. If not, we'll keep going, you know? Sometimes, you know, you just need the 90-second fuck session. Sometimes you're in it for that tantric fucking sting, like, 90-minute thing. And that's cool. That's cool. I'm here to cater to both sides.
Bet you are.
All right. Without further ado, let's dive into this. All right, I'm rolling my randomly generated die, six-sided die here, and I would like you each to tell me a number, and that'll determine who goes first.
How many sides is it?
Six.
Four.
We got a four from Justin and a two from David. All right, it comes up a five. So Justin's going first.
All right. Now, if Justin doesn't get it right, do I have a chance to steal it?
Or why not? Sure. Let's make up the rules as we go. No, that is a good rule, and that gives you guys the chance to score big, score quick.
Yes.
All right. Fill in the blank, good sir. Why so blank?
Serious.
Absolutely. That was an easy one. Some of these are going to be easy.
David's like, why so easy? Am I right?
All right, David, next. Who is known to cling to the Joker? Batman? Oh, yep. You don't even need to hear this shit. You got it. Absolutely correct. And moving on to the next question. All right. What is the Joker's signature? This is for Justin. A playing card, a painted face, a carved smile, or donuts?
Ooh, I guess a playing card?
Playing card, he says, and it is correct. That is another point for Justin. Huzzah.
I like donuts. Thank you.
I do too, but I don't know what they have to do with
Joker. Joker's donuts make me go nuts.
All right. This one is from a movie. David, who did the Joker impale with a pencil? Gamble, Harvey Dent, Batman, or Gamble's boy?
Gamble's boy.
Gamble's boy. Sounds so rude.
Is that what he's credited as?
That's what he's credited.
Because he's like, how about have my boy there tear your arms off or some shit, yeah.
Yeah, and that is absolutely correct. So you guys have it tied up 2-2. I have a feeling this may be a little bit easy for you guys. You're fucking pros at this. I might have to dig for some harder ones. All right, Justin. Why won't he kill the Batman? He can't. He's having too much fun. He's too strong. Or he loves Batman.
He's having too much fun.
Too much fun. That is a damn good answer. Let's see what it says. That's correct. Ding, ding, ding. That is 3 points, Justin. 2 points, David. And next question is for you.
Yeah.
Mr. D. That question.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. All right. So it appears my quiz only has 6 questions when it said it had 30. So... Justin, you've got. I'm gonna find some more. Hold on.
We'll play, Justin. We'll play.
I am the winner.
What the hell kind of stupid ass shit is this website? God damn it!
I retired champion. I will never play another game.
It's funny because the 6th question was, "Do I love the Joker? Yes, no, or I don't know," and I just. Guessed yes, and of course that was the right answer. But I'm like, this is the most ridiculous fan-made, why did I even bother reading this thing? This is why I need to read the shit before we start a game.
Yeah, that's okay, I'll win. You don't have to worry about
it. Alright, David, one more question for you here. who is the voice actor that portrays Batman in Batman the Animated Series?
Who portrays Batman?
Yeah.
So not a Joker question.
Yeah, sure, why not?
It's Kevin Conroy.
Excellent. I'm asking you shit that I already know just to make sure that I get this shit right.
Well, I had to repeat it back just to make sure.
I know, I was like thinking Mark Hamill?
No, going with voice actor questions, Justin. Who portrayed the voice of the Joker in Batman the Animated Series?
That, my friend, is Mark Hamill.
Okay, David, who portrayed the voice of the Joker in Batman the Killing Joke?
Ooh. Was it Mark Hamill?
It was Mark Hamill.
Okay.
Good. You guys have it all tied up. 4-4. I'm really trying to milk 12 questions out of this because I said I was going to find 12 for you.
Just find one more hard one and it'll be the...
All right. This is going to be the tiebreaker. And let's see, I'm going to go to uselessdaily.com for some Joker trivia.
So are we just yelling it out then?
Nope. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Sure. Oh, this is
I'm
fun,
so
though. Because this is going to be difficult, I think. I'm going to try to find a hard one for you, because I feel like I haven't stumped you yet. The Gambles boy should have stumped you, but it didn't. So I'm going to find something that really does the trick. Might take me a second.
But we're still going back and forth, or is this the snitch?
I'll let you know before I ask the question.
Okay.
All right.
Pause for effect.
Okay, here we go. This is a pretty good one. So I'm going to ask the question. Feel free to buzz in as quickly as you like. Once you think you know what I'm going to be asking, or listen to it all the way through. This is going to be quickest voice gets it, so I'm totally going against the rest of this game, so fairness be damned. In what year was Harley Quinn, Joker's female sidekick, introduced in the animated series?
1992.
Justin, you got it. You are the winner.
Job, Justin.
Baby.
Well done, sir. Well done indeed.
I win! I'm the champion!
I swear to God, that thing said it had 36 on, and I'm like, sweet! Nope, it was 6.
I not be defeated.
Finally, Justin Cavender is above the law.
Yeah. I didn't want to lose to a cripple, you know? Oh, no, he's like, I didn't want to lose to a man with a hook, you know? What are you saying? That he's got a handicap? I don't know. What do I care? I'm rich.
Oh, I love Kingpin so much.
The best. Well, cool. Good job, Justin. Good game, Randy. And you guys got anything else?
Yeah, I got a shout-out. We actually got a message on our Facebook page earlier this week from a gentleman in Japan named Clark Tanaka, who saw our unboxing video of the Epic Chronicle Collectibles Breakout T-Rex that Justin and Felix were so good to put together for us last year. And he said how much he loves Jurassic Park, and after watching that video, he was inspired to buy his own version of the Chronicle Collectibles T-Rex. And then he sent us a link to his YouTube channel, which shows off a bunch of his original 1993 Jurassic Park collectibles, like toys and all sorts of cool stuff that you could have found when the movie first opened. So if you get a chance, check out some of his YouTube videos. Just put in Jurassic Park Collection 1993 and look for a gentleman by the name of Clark Tanaka, and it'll take you back a good 25 years in a good way to a simpler time when a super roid-raged Alan Grant who didn't have to look like Sam Neill at all was hanging on the toy store shelves.
Yeah, he's got some really cool stuff. He's got like a Jurassic Park tent, like a slumber tent. He's got all this crazy stuff. He's probably got everything.
Seriously. I'm legitimately jealous of this collection because that was the same time era that I was collecting some toys other than Star Wars because there wasn't much going on for Star Wars in 93, and he puts my collection to shame.
Yeah, no, it's pretty rad. You should it's definitely worth checking out. It's pretty fun.
Cool. Thanks, Clark.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. As always, make sure to go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. And whilst there, give your ears a little bit of pleasure. Listen to the Pixelated Podcast with Justin Cavender and Stephen K. James, 4000. On the Pixelated Podcast, we talk about video games and everything video game related. They sell video games and video game paraphernalia. yeah, make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those at Geek Legacy. And until next time, we will talk to you a different time.